You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Actually, it's not. It's our house. Good morning. On a Tuesday morning, Chris Woodbridge, editor of the Marine Corps Gazette, going to join us this morning. So we'll talk to him. One of the things I'd like, so Woodbridge comes on to talk about the Gazette, right? But before we talk about the Gazette, I like asking him opinion questions, right? Because, when he writes an editorial, he puts a lot of thought into it. He doesn't come on something like this where, he talks current events on a daily basis. What does he think about this? What does he think about that? So I enjoy bringing him on and saying, all right, now let's get to the, the opinion part of the program right away. Because let me just tell you this. Sorry. Marine officers, do not like to go on TV and give opinions. the people who hate it more than Marine officers or Marine staff NCO. They don't go. They don't want to go anywhere near it. So you know, it's amazing. You would be surprised the number of people that I call and say, "Hey, come on, All Marine Radio." First question: can you send me a list of questions? No. Commandant comes on. I never send him a list of questions. Is that okay? It's a non-threat environment. We'll talk issues. Respectful. We won't talk about anything classified. We'll talk current events. So, you know, that's what I want to talk about. Well, you know, I'll have to clear it with the PAO. Okay, tell the PAO to go to the website, look at the Hall of Fame that comes on All Marine Radio, and then that lieutenant can make some kind of value judgment whether you should come on. Mac, I'm really busy. Yeah, I chased one sergeant major for over a year. Who's busy for over a year that you don't have an hour to give up? Only somebody who doesn't want to come on. And it's what's sad, in my opinion, is that, you know, they're afraid. And people are deprived of hearing what, you know, outstanding leaders they are. Because they're afraid of the press. That's right. So, welcome to my house. So I'd like to get to the opinion part first, right off the bat with Woodbridge. And he's good at it, you know. And again, it's nothing, what we do here is nothing crazy. Yeah, it's nothing crazy. That's what they say right before the craziness starts, right? Come on, I'm not going to ask you to do anything crazy. Did you see the Benjamin Netanyahu little thing yesterday? That was amazing. The Mossad went in and got, what did they say, half a ton of documents? All right. The memo to the Iranians. You want to play in the deep end of the pool? There's this concept called OPSEC. It's short for operational security. Yeah. That means the stuff that is secret is supposed to stay secret, okay? And trust us, when you got the Mossad lurking around, that's a problem, because those guys are pretty good. They're pretty good at just about everything. So, the Israelis threw the Iranian shit right in the middle of the street yesterday. So not only did they steal a half a ton of shit from Tehran. You got to be kidding me, man. Somebody's got to write a book about that. And then he walks over very dramatically, and he drops this black curtain in front of two different wall walkers. Could you imagine the people in Tehran watching? Oh, shit. Those are the binders. Those are the CDs. Damn it. Mahmoud, you bastard. You will die for this. You know that. Yes, I know. I am prepared to die. you better be, because your ass is shit. They took a half a million pounds. Oh, wait, a half a ton. What is that, 1,000 pounds? Yeah, they took it, whatever, man, out of their classified stuff, rolling up their documents. So now Netanyahu, he's standing out there with the microphone, right? And now roll the PowerPoint, boys. And here we go. We got pictures, we got names, we got dates, we got exact verbiage. Oh, my God. What? We're not doing that. Those are, I don't know, the Mossad, they fabricated it. Yeah, that's a ticket. That's what we're showing. The Mossad fabricated all of it. Okay, let's stick with that. That'll work. It was awesome. And then in the middle of it, he says, the Iranians are liars. Okay, it's too bad it wasn't a press conference. Somebody just said, Putin? He would be a liar, too. Okay, got that. The guy in North Korea? No comment. The president's engaged with him, so I have nothing to say about that guy. So it's pretty amazing piece of live television. And, again, I want to say it came on here at 2 in the afternoon, which would make, I think, what would it make it, 5? No, it was 8. 8 o'clock in Israel. So what was it, 3 or 4? It was 3 or 4 on the East Coast. Yeah, designed for primetime American consumption. So, yeah, if you didn't see that, take a few minutes and watch it. It's incredible. The Israelis throw the Iranian shit right in the middle of the street. Oh, by the way, that's after they whacked one of their air bases last night. Yeah, news out of Syria. There's stuff exploding. What's going on? The Americans are bombing again. Central Command, we didn't bomb anybody last night. The Israelis. Damn it. The Jews always are whooping the shit out of somebody. So we'll see what the, you know, so what are the Iranians going to do now? Right? Because that war is coming. Unless something intervenes, that war is a coming. Because the Israelis cannot have that. And let me just tell you, I imagine this. So all this stuff about North Korea, right? Imagine a world that looked like this, right? We have some kind of treaty with North Korea where we don't have to worry about their nuclear weapons. We'll monitor them, obviously, right? Reagan's words, trust but verify. Imagine the world on the backside of that. Oh, well, that was a good outcome. Imagine then the free nations of the world looking at Iran and saying, hey, no, we're not going to go down that road. The last thing the world needs is you with a nuclear weapon, so we're not going to do that. And you have, you have weak-kneed people like Andre, what's her name? I can't remember. Is her name Andrea? Angela Merkel, one of them. A. Merkel, Germany. Yeah, that one. She's about as weak of an ass clown as there ever has been. As a leader. It's peace through strength, the lesson of history, man. She wants globalism. We'll all just get along. Yeah, and Europe is revolting over that. The EU is at risk over Mrs. Merkel's leadership. So anyway, but yeah, imagine Iran told by the free world to stop, and they have no choice but to do it because they can't oppose the free world. And the same thing with China in the South China Sea. Imagine the free democracies of the world who have many more people, have much more buying power than the Chinese, as huge as the Chinese are. Imagine the free nations of the world saying, hey, look, stop this stuff, right? Yeah, you got your little land-based aircraft carriers in the South China Sea. Okay, we got it, and you can extend the range of your aircraft and all that. But let me tell you, you don't own the South China Sea. There's laws on the planet. We expect you to abide by them like everybody else. We expect you to respect Taiwan. Imagine that world. Peace through strength. And then looking at Russia's, let me just tell you, Russia's kind of like the tin pot dictator in a crappy movie. Yeah, that's them. They're not so much. again, based on their economy, they can't do it. And if anything goes wrong, and again, like with the price of oil and energy, Russia, their infrastructure begins to teeter. So yeah, he's not even, honestly, he's not even an issue. The person who empowers him is A. Merkel, whatever her first name is. I keep screwing it up. Yeah, she empowers Germany because the Germans have decided that, yeah, we won't defend our nation. And then you have a jackass like Putin romping around Eastern Europe when all you have to do is be strong, and he can't do it. So anyway, imagine that world. Russia's in check. China has respect for the rule of law. Okay, North Korea, you negotiated out of a position of strength with your allies. The free nations of the world, man, they go to the gym and they get rocked up, and then they start saying, hey, this is the way the game's going to go. We're not going to play these stupid games with you jackass gangster dictators. Imagine that world. You can't do it like Barack Obama. I mean, God almighty, man. We're going to sit down and we're going to hit the reset button. No, 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 no. You don't hit the reset button with the Russians. Are you kidding me? You don't hit that button with them. They want you to hit that button because they're playing charades. You get with your friends. You all go to the gym for a few months. You all get strong. And then you walk down the street and you say, hey, man, we want to talk to you. And he looks left and right. He goes, about what? Like, hey, don't walk down the street anymore, okay? Vlad, you don't belong here. See that line up there? You agreed to that line. You stay over there. That's exactly how that conversation should go. So, anyway. Yeah, peace through strength. What a concept. 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 And you have idiots on this planet, and Barack Obama was one of them. Educated idiot. He's as bad as Condoleezza Rice. God bless her. Right? And the rest of George Bush's cabinet who took us to war in Iraq. What a joke. What a bunch of fools. And let me tell you, you can't get that one wrong. You can't take the country to war under false premises. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how good of a person you are. There's an article that I have that talks about the destabilization of Europe, but the article uses really good verbiage, and I have to sort through a pile of articles to find it. But I'm going to find it here in a second, and I'm going to read it to you. Oh, look at this! It's right here. I like the way this guy wrote this. The headline of this, I put it up on the website. It's on the read board. That's right. It's on the read board, devil dogs. The title of this is Syria, Reaping the Storm Obama Sowed by Dr. Martin Sherman. He's an Israeli guy, so you can imagine, not real enamored. Yeah, can you imagine Netanyahu? He knows this stuff. Like, he knows this stuff because how long do you think the Israelis have had this intelligence? And he's telling Obama, hey, this is what's going to happen. You're putting us on a war footing with the Syrians by doing what you're doing. Yeah, wonder why he couldn't get to Washington, D.C. fast enough after Donald Trump got elected? You put Israel in jeopardy. Anyway, I like the way this is written. The failure to assess the true nature of the threat ISIS posed in Iraq allowed the civil war there to spill into Syria, compounding the carnage there. The uncontrolled escalation of fighting and the absence of any U.S. initiative to rein in Assad's brutality led to massive flows of refugees fleeing into Turkey and from there into Europe, precipitating massive socio-cultural tensions across the continent and threatening to undermine much of the domestic societal fabric. Okay. I'm going to read that again because that's pretty heavy-duty shit at 07:22 in the morning Pacific time, okay? So let me read that. What you're talking about is the fabric of nations, okay? That's what George Bush unleashed with his stupidity. That's what Colin Powell went to the UN for. That's all at the behest of idiots like Don Rumsfeld. Yeah. And bobblehead generals who didn't push back. Greg Newbold quit. Tony Zinni was out there beating the drum, saying, don't do this. Okay? But, we did it, and everything that the war plan predicted happened. Everything. And then some. Yeah, we just didn't get the war plan turbulence. We got the extra value meal. That's like twice as many French fries and a large Coke. Yeah. So let me reread this. Okay. The absence of any U.S. initiative to rein in Assad's brutality led to massive flows of refugees fleeing into Turkey and from there into Europe, precipitating massive socio-cultural tensions across the continent and threatening to undermine much of the domestic societal fabric. So Europe now faces this reconciliation with vast numbers of Muslim men who went to Europe to escape from the carnage of Syria, Iraq, and Turkey. But Europe isn't good with that. And so now Europe will, and much of it done by A. Merkel, and now Europe will try to reconcile itself with that. But Germans, they don't see themselves largely as, they're Lederhosen, man. Lederhosen. Yeah. The Swiss, they yodel. They're not melting pot. Melting pot, that would be go west. That's the United States. They're melting pot. We're Swiss. We do chocolate. We do cheese. Okay. We snow ski. Okay. That's what we do. That's how we identify ourselves. So, anyway. Imagine a world where the free nations stood up, were strong, right? And in not in all cases, because we have differences of opinion. We all have our own perspective. But when you're talking about dictators, imagine if they locked arms and said, ain't going to happen, bro. Yeah. Why aren't there any female dictators? Has there ever been a female dictator? Has there? Margaret Thatcher. That's an interesting historical question. Why has there never been a female dictator? List of female dictators. Interesting question. All right, here's a list. Indira Gandhi? Jinping was a dominant figure in Chinese politics during the Cultural Revolution and immediately after Mao Zedong's death. She was Mao's fourth wife. Elena Cucescu, wife of Romanian communist. She wasn't around long, okay? Imelda Marcos, she wasn't around long. So what you're looking at is Indira Gandhi. She was the prime minister of India. So as far as I can see, there's never been a female dictator. Interesting. All right. We'll make it official right now. United States Marine Corps band. Peace through strength, man. And let's keep the idiots. Look, how do I say this? You know, how do I say it? All these educated blockheads that go to Washington, D.C., I mean, look what a mess of the planet. John Kerry is this Massachusetts, If you want to get a Vietnam veteran frothing at the mouth, if you just like, so like you bump into Bob Nielsen, and you look at Nielsen, you're like, seems like a nice guy. Let me see if I can get him frothing at the mouth right now. Just say, you know, Bob, I've been watching TV, and you know who I think is an awesome guy? John Kerry. What a great man. Nielsen's head will explode, as will most Vietnam veterans. Yeah. And then go on TV and look at John Kerry saying, we've rid Syria of all chemical weapons. But there's another word, all reported chemical weapons. What happens if they didn't report it? Well, then it's still there. And who are we relying on to get it out of there? The Russians, led by Vladimir Putin. Oh, okay. Well, how stupid are you, Kerry? So you just wanted to turn the page on this shit. You didn't want to really deal with it, so the Russians are going to deal with it. Yes? No. Yes, Mac, the Russians are going to deal with it. Oh, no, they're not, John. Okay. Would you like to apologize for the bullshit you said at that hearing in front of the Senate Foreign Affairs Committee in 1969 or 70 when you testified there? Would you like to apologize to him for the bullshit that you said that were daily occurrences in Vietnam? Mark, I think you need to read history. No, you need to. Anyway, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton and the reset button with the Russians. Screw the Russians, man. You know? Okay, let me tell you something the Iraqis taught. I don't know how I got off on this rant. Let me tell you something about the, hey, Mac, did you take your medication this morning? Why do we go there? I don't have any medication, okay? And I need to say something else about something else. I was going to go off about Putin, but I'm going to stop. We'll get the show going here. All right. So make it official. United States Marine Corps band. Good morning to you on a Tuesday. And this is dedicated to the people that have urged me to do the GoFundMe thing, and then the people that have supported it. I don't share some of the stuff that happens here on All Marine Radio, people that reach out, that struggle and things like that. But within 2 years of standing this little endeavor up, it has become an important part of people's lives. And that's what it was envisioned to. And so for everybody who's taken the time to give via the GoFundMe thing that I was beat into putting on, that I should have put up a while ago, thank you. And you'll probably never know the different people that you help. You'll probably never know the families that you help, who walk away hearing things that are true from this program, that you won't ever get over it, that you can learn to live with it, that there is a concept called post-traumatic growth that you can embrace and be a better person because of the experience. Okay? And so all those true things that we know to be true, not everybody gets that. Not everybody gets that. And so, so to the people that have donated, there's no way that I can convey to you the number of emails that people have sent me who've listened to the program. And I'll tell you what, and they're not young veterans, you know. Half of them are Vietnam guys that hear Vietnam stories and they listen to them, and then they get curious, and then they listen to the rest of the program, and then they become fans. So this is dedicated to everybody who's had a hand in this. Thank you, thank you, thank you, from people that don't even know. Thank you. Oops, that's not dedicated to you, but this is.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We got to win, man. That's what we got to do. We have to win. Because as Vince Lombardi said, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. And he was playing football. He wasn't even playing You Bet Your Life. He got it. Yeah, no kidding. Neller's a Trekkie, okay? You look at Neller, he doesn't look like a Trekkie. I know Trekkies. He doesn't look like one, okay? Yeah, exactly. Neller's a Trekkie? Yeah, self-admitted Trekkie. He looks more like a Dragnet guy. Yeah, if you've never seen Dragnet, go ahead, Google it. That's what Neller looks like. He looks more like a rifleman, Dragnet kind of a guy. Maybe little Bonanza when he's in a happy mood. But Trekkie? Gotta be kidding me. And then he tried to sell that. Then he tried to sell that. He liked it because it was a show about leadership in the future. Come on, come on. Who wrote that? Your publicist? I see right through Neller, okay? I know him. I read his book. Currently, Sunny in 67 in Quantico, the crossroads of the Marine Corps. Sunny in 71 at Camp Lejeune, home of the 2nd Marine Division and 2 MEF. Clouds in 72 in Granbury, Texas, home of Mike Musselman, where who found his grandmother's rosary. This just in from Bob Nielsen. John Kerry, WTF, had to pull off the road. How about throwing Jane Fonda in there? Jane Fonda escaped my mind. No, I was talking about people, not politicians, reset buttons and going around the world and just... And look, here's what you have to do. You got to work on the alliance. The alliance is going to the gym. Once you work on the alliance, the rest is a fait accompli. There is nothing they can do about it. Yeah. What can they do about it besides nothing if you go to the gym? The problem is, if you don't, and you know what? That's why this whole Merkel thing irritates me. You know? Who do you think hates Germany more than the Ukrainians? Answer, nobody. Germany's soft, wussy ass, freeloading on the rest of the free world, allows Vladimir Putin to ride roughshod in the Ukraine, not roughshod. He should be roughshod. Right? Yeah, that's what allows that. Germany's weakness. Right? Barack Obama would not send them good drones that couldn't be jammed, and he wouldn't send them anti-tank missiles. But he said he supported the Ukrainian people. What was he afraid of? Doing something provocative that might, you know, might anger Vladimir Putin? Weak. Currently at the home of, where am I? Oh, Granbury, Texas. Montana, 44 degrees under cloudy skies, same as yesterday. 29 Palms, a little bit cooler. Partly sunny and 55. Pendleton clouds and 55. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 75. Marja, Afghanistan. Clear dark, 92. At the home of All Marine Radio, 56 degrees under cloudy skies. Going to rain out here tonight. Yeah, going to rain. Looking for a low overnight of 55 tomorrow. Clouds, 64 degrees. Thursday, we'll have some sun and 70. That is a look at your weather. When we come back, we'll do some news headlines. Yeah, big news out of Iraq. I mean, landmark news out of Iraq. So we'll check on that. More of that coming up next.
Arriving at Quezon was a real experience because the plane came in hard and fast, did an immediate U-turn, never stopping, spun a U-turn at the end of the runway, and body bags were being thrown in as you tried to go out the back tailgate. And there were people waving in trenches at the very end, telling you to get over there, and you're carrying your duffel bag, and you don't really know what's going on. Why? What's the hurry? Well, then rockets started coming in.
When the ammo dump exploded, man, we thought it was atomic.
Our bunker was right kind of in front of the ammo dump. We was on the garbage pit side. And that first round went in. It was spooky. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
There was an explosion right in the doorway of the hooch. Slammed me against the bulkhead, the walls there. And then I knew shit was hitting the fan here. Scared the crap out of me, of course. I was all discombobulated.
Mayhem, the wounded laying in the trench. Our own artillery rounds that were stored in the ammo dump were cooking off and shooting straight up in the air and coming down on us.
We got rounds coming from the enemy. We got rounds coming from the ammo dump.
And then the CS gas that was blown out of the dump was burning, settling into the trenches because it goes to the low ground and into the bunkers.
I just thought, oh, my God, you know, you're not going to survive this, you know. Little did I know, you know, it was going to go on for 77 days.
Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor. It's a story of Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26th Marines. It's a documentary film about the 77-day siege of Khe Sanh. It's not a pro-war or an anti-war film. It's a story produced by a grunt who was there for the entire siege. It's history over the lip of a trench, as told by 14 Marines and one Navy corpsman. It's award-winning, and it's available on Amazon Prime right now. Watch it, review it, and share it. I say again, watch it on Amazon Prime, review it, and share it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Montana Man likes this.
Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are. Live with all your faults. I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So I don't decide.
Why dictatorships, right? I mean, come on. What a joke. Now, look, I don't have a problem if you're a monarch and you do what's best for your people and you raise their standard of living. Kuwait's like that. Jordan's like that. Whoa, what was that? The And so I don't have any problem with that. Dictators, though, if you're rolling around the region, creating all kinds of discontent and other shit, time for you to go, bro. Yeah, I mean, think about this. The Iranian people, they don't even like their government. Yeah, they've had a couple of revolts. Barack Obama screwed one of them over. Remember the Green Movement? He was like, yeah, sorry, I got to keep my hands in my pockets. That dude was lame as lame could be, man. Lame as lame could be. The, all right. Let me go to the story that caught my eye as I was kind of perusing the news before I came on this morning. From Stars and Stripes. Yeah, if you don't look at the Stars and Stripes website, but they'll only let you look at so many articles, one of those deals, before they start. Anytime you click on an article, they'll tell you that you have to pay. So, anywho, but the headlines are good. The purveyor of the puppet oath video wishes it had never been posted. After, this is going to make me even angrier. Yeah. The access denied. 1 year digital subscription, Stars and Stripes, $40. 1 month digital access trial, 99 cents. How much is it after that? That's what I want to know. The everybody charging money for everything. Okay, let me see. See, but here's the trick. If you have more than one browser, for instance, let's say you're a Windows, because I'm not an iPhone, Mac person. Okay, so I don't speak Safari. But if you're a Windows person, then what you do is you have more than one browser. Yeah. You have more than one browser, and then what happens is when you use up your 10 stories in one browser in the month, then you copy and paste the link to another browser. And you do that if you have like three browsers on your, you could have like Chrome, you could have Mozilla, and then you can have like Microsoft Edge. Yeah. Look, I'm not going to submit to that kind of tyranny to read an article. Especially one I want to read. The Wall Street Journal is pretty good, though. They lock their stuff up. So this is remember the puppet oath? So this is an Air Force Master Sergeant, public affairs type, reenlisting with a colonel who has to read the oath, first of all, which is an embarrassment. Okay? So anyway, here's an article written yesterday. If Stephen Maine could do it all again, he would not have posted the video that went viral and led to the forced retirement of a Tennessee Air National Guard colonel for allowing a reenlistment ceremony that included a dinosaur hand puppet. Quote, "For the part I played in this, I'm truly sorry," Maine wrote in a guest column on military.com on Sunday. "I'm unsure if there is any good that can be done here, but I asked the Adjutant General to reconsider these actions now that the fog of war has lifted and the media interest has waned. We need to make this right." Air Guard Colonel Kevin Blazer administered the oath on April 18th for Master Sergeant Robin Brown while she wore a dinosaur puppet on her raised right hand as it mouthed the oath that she recited. After Maine posted the video on his Air Force Airman, NCO, Staff, NCO Facebook page, it went viral, sparked outrage among. 5 days later, Major General Terry Haston, the Tennessee Air Guard's Adjutant General, announced on Facebook that the colonel would be forced to retire and that Brown had been removed from her full-time position with his Tennessee Joint Public Affairs Office. It was later revealed that Brown would not be allowed to reenlist. The senior NCO, this first sergeant, who shot the video, was removed from his position as the unit first sergeant and received an official reprimand. And so he laments sharing it on his page. Meanwhile, the 53-year-old Blazer recently told Military.com he made a poor decision. I should have probably stopped the ceremony, he told the site. That was bad judgment. I 100% admit that. I should have probably stopped the ceremony. That's the colonel, right? No, he shouldn't have stopped it. He should have never agreed to it. So the part that angers me about the story is that even in their apology, they're not taking responsibility. It was wrong. It was wrong as wrong could be. And let me tell you, this is what I know about when bad stuff happens, okay? If this is the kind of organization that they're a part of, God only knows what you're going to find when you start flipping over the rocks, okay? God only knows. Okay, let me get to a couple stories, Marine Corps type. Before we get Colonel Chris Woodbridge on here, United States Marine Corps retired. Major combat operations against ISIS in Iraq have ended. What happens now? What happens now? Good question. All right. So that's what the article talks about. What happens now? Now, we've done this dance before, right? We've rolled up the colors, we've encased them, blah, 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 blah. On Monday, commanders transferred the fight against any remaining ISIS holdouts in Iraq to combined joint task force Operation Inherent Resolve, according to a coalition release. That doesn't mean all troops are going home, though. When asked about troop levels during the briefing Monday, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis told Military Times troop numbers are adjusted to ensure the force is, quote, fit for its current mission. Beyond that, he didn't talk about it. So what I will say is, okay, big announcement, right? We transferred this to that. Other than that, anything changed in terms of the day-to-day functions? No. Because now, again, now you got to win the peace. What happens? Three Marines face rape charges in New Orleans at Tulane University. Nice. Marine Corps had the highest increase of sexual assault reports among the services. And again, those numbers, what do they reflect? Do they reflect more sexual assault, or they reflect the confidence that people have in reporting it? In its annual report on sexual assault in the military, the Pentagon said there were 6,769 cases reported in fiscal year 2017, up 10%. Of those, 998 were Marine Corps cases, up 14.9% from the year before. 106 were Army cases, up 8.4. Navy cases, 1,585, up 9.3. And Air Force, 1,480 cases, up 9.2. So, Marine Corps, highest tick up at 15%. Navy behind it at 9.3, Air Force behind them at 9.2, Army 8.4. So the question is, more confidence in reporting or more sexual assault? And nobody knows the answer to that. So that in the news. The top five on the early bird this morning, and then we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll go ahead and get Woody on. Number one, can the Navy protect this ship from hackers? The Navy's Expeditionary Fast Transport, or EFP, class of ships may be vulnerable to hackers and isn't achieving key performance milestones, including some related to cybersecurity of the ship's systems, according to a new Inspector General's report. Good God, man. So let me get this straight. You don't have this thing electronically tied up in a bow. Yes? Is that what you're telling me? What you're telling me is somebody, through some kind of cyber event, can infiltrate the workings of the ship, either its communications or its operations. You're telling me that, and you're telling me that that's somehow got through the, that's fallen through the cracks? You've got to be shitting me. Number two, from this is another story out of Stars and Stripes today. Afghan force levels shrinking despite billions spent by the United States. Story suggests that United States military continued to keep private key data about the metrics of the war in Afghanistan, now in its 17th year, and that the Afghan force levels are shrinking despite all the efforts of the United States. Number three, major combat operations against ISIS in Iraq have ended. So we've talked about that. Number four, U.S. service member killed, another wounded in eastern Afghanistan. That happened yesterday. Thoughts and prayers go out to their families. Five, lawsuit calls acting VA Secretary Wilkie's appointment illegal, demands immediate approval. I'm sorry, demands immediate removal. Other headlines from the Secretary of Defense. Services looking into military spouse deportation. This is from the Associated Press. This is going to irritate some people. Mystery solved. Why Trump-Macron friendship tree has vanished. On Sunday, the Associated Press reported that a mystery was brewing at the White House about what happened to the oak tree. President Donald Trump and French President Emmanuel Macron planted here last week. By the end of the week, the tree was gone from the lawn, and the pale patch of grass was left in its place. The White House didn't offer an explanation. But the French president's office said there's nothing mysterious about the disappearance of the oak tree he planted in the White House lawn. It was put in quarantine, just like other plants or animals brought to the United States territory. The sapling was a gift from the French president during his state visit. An official at Macron's office on Monday said Trump insisted on holding a symbolic planting ceremony alongside Macron, despite the quarantine requirements. The official said both sides knew all along the tree would later go into quarantine. Look, we don't need that kind of bullshit going on, okay? When we have trees planted, that's right. When we have trees planted, we get after them. One more story, and then we'll take a break. Actually, two more. They're both Marine stories. Both related to Okinawa, oddly enough. Remains of World War II Marine coming home after 6 decades. For nearly 6 decades, a Marine Corps sergeant's family lived under the misconception that his body was lost at sea during World War II. Killed in what has now been called the Battle of Tarawa, David Quinn's remains have been identified and are on their way home to New Hampshire. Funeral services with full military honors are expected for the 24-year-old on May 5th at the Congregational Church of Temple. Quinn died on November 20th, 1943, the first day of the Battle of Tarawa. His parents and siblings all died before the family discovered a letter to his widow from a Marine veteran disproving the claim that his body was lost at sea. In the early 2000s, they were contacted by military scientists that said DNA was available to identify Quinn. It took about a decade. It's a shame that the family who knew him never got a chance for this closure, but it's an amazing feeling knowing that his long journey has finally come home, said Paul Quinn, his nephew, who found the letter during his research and spearheaded the efforts to identify his uncle for me. Paul Quinn said his uncle died 6 years before he was born. There were a few stories that were passed along to the younger generation about him, but his immediate family remembered him fondly and were filled with regret that they never knew what happened to him. He married his widow, who he met in New Zealand 4 months before he left for Tarawa. New Zealand. Who was just in New Zealand? Oh, Tom Drowdy was just in New Zealand, talking about how much they love the Marines. Anyway, you see more and more of these stories. A friend of mine sent me an article out of the New York Times that talked about the number of people that are the civilians that are getting involved in kind of the forensics of identifying service members that were killed and interred in Hawaii and different places like that. Okinawa unit renames its headquarters after Medal of Honor recipient. Troops from Combat Logistics Regiment 35, 3rd Marine Logistics Group, officially changed the name of their headquarters at Camp Kinzer to Hague Hall, H-A-G-U-E, on Monday in recognition of Corporal Lewis Hague, who was killed in the Battle of Okinawa. His family attended. How about that? How cool is that? Hague displayed uncommon valor when his squad from the 1st Marine Division got pinned down by an enemy mortar and machine gun fire. According to his award, he sprinted towards the machine gun emplacements, tossing hand grenades as he ran. He was wounded but destroyed both machine gun nests before a Japanese sniper shot and killed him. We dedicated this building to Corporal Hague because we found that his unit was dug in this very camp, said Colonel Forrest Poole, commander of the logistics regiment. And in a statement, quote, he and his unit defended this position while Marines traveled here to assist the southern assault. A native of Ada, Minnesota. I've been to Ada. How about that? He had seen combat on Peleliu and was meritoriously promoted to the rank of corporal. He was a squad leader by the time that his squad went ashore on Okinawa. So, God bless him. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Chris Woodbridge coming up next.